pretty good crowd this morning. That's exciting. Next week will be down. Talk about giving a little bit. It'll go down. Amen. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's good. What's that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you're lucky. So lucky. Very, very good. Just in case anybody would like to know, Brother Tom's cane is found and is brand new. He went to Goodwill. I love this story. He went to Goodwill, and Brother Tom never holds on to his cane very long. He only holds on to it long enough so Annie quits nagging him. And then as soon as she's done nagging him, he puts it down again, because Tom likes to run. He doesn't care nothing about that cane. Tom had a hip replacement. That's why he has that cane just every once in a while. But he takes the cane into Goodwill. He sees a deal or something. Obviously, something had to catch his eye. He sets the cane down, hangs it on a shelf or something, walks away, and Goodwill sold it. That is so great. Yes, Brother Tom. Amen. Thank you, Shackelford, for helping Goodwill to advance a little further, because the next time he's in there, they'll get another cane. That's awesome. That is one of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my entire life. He hung it. And did you leave before you realized that the cane, you didn't have your cane? Or did they sell it while you were in the building? Oh, okay. That's a shame. Because that would have been even funnier if they sold it while you're in the building. Person's walking out with this cane. What a nice cane. If it makes you feel any better, they probably got a quarter for it. So, not too bad. All right, Luke chapter 6, verse 35 through 38. Let's all stand quickly as we go to the Word. Peace, goodwill to all men. Oh, that's good stuff. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Pretty good stuff, actually. We'll talk about this just a little bit. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to be here and teach Sunday school. Lord, I love doing this. I think these lessons are phenomenal. Lord, I think these are things that we all need to remember and bring back to our memories again on how simple these truths are. And Lord, I'm thankful for Brother Ball making these for us, and Lord, they've been a great help. Lord, please help the people today to open their hearts and minds to what you have for them. Lord, please speak through me. Always my prayer before I preach, Lord, let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The preacher's talking about giving again. So tired of hearing about giving. I'm so thankful that God never got tired of giving. I'm so thankful that He never gets tired of giving. We read these scriptures and you think automatically we're going to go right to the pocketbook. When you go into lessons like this, obviously the preacher's going to go right for the pocketbook. I can just about bet we're not going to even get to the pocketbook today, and maybe not even next week. There's far greater things that you can give beyond your money, although money is phenomenal to give. If we understand the fact, and we talked about this in prayer in the last couple weeks, I wanted you to think about changing your prayer attitude. And I gave you the illustration of if you had one chance to stand before the Almighty God and ask Him, and He would answer one prayer for you, If you had one prayer that you would pray, what would that prayer be? And after long thought and long contemplation, the only thing I could come up with that would be a fitting prayer to be answered if I was standing there would be, Lord, you do your will in my life. Now listen, you may say, well, Brother Dave, why wouldn't you ask for $10 million? Because if I had $10 million yet did not have the will of the Lord, what would it be good for? Okay? Understand this, there's only one person in the whole wide universe that knows what your future holds. There's only one person in all of eternity past that knows what your future was going to be back then, and that's God. Understand this, you better want His will, because He wants the best for your life. He wants the greatest for your life. He doesn't want you to go through torment and pain, although there are times when you might think, man, I can't take what the Lord is putting me through. That's when we talked about Job last week. I can't take what the Lord is putting me through. Understand this. Yes, you can. Because the Lord's never going to give you something you can't take. Okay? Now, you might think, well, Brother Dave, I noticed that you haven't had to go through things that I've had to go through. And I will say this to you. You're probably right. But there's things that I've gone through that you haven't had to go through, too. And if you look all across this room, and I pointed this out last week, this is a world full of hurt people right here. Everybody at one time or another, or maybe even right now, is in hurt. And understand this. You say, what does this have to do with giving? Just hold on for a second. See, you use your prayer life, your lifetime commitment. Prayer life does not mean prayer life for the next 10 minutes. Prayer life means your lifetime commitment to prayer. Your lifetime thinking of, what can I talk to my friend the Lord about today? What can I talk to him about? And when you go to him in prayer, if you have that attitude change, Lord, I want whatever you want for my life, it takes the worry of your life out of your life. It's crazy to think about things that way, but it really is true. If you want the Lord to have his will in your life, you begin to not worry about your own life so much. You start to worry about others. And you start to think about, man, what are they going through right now? Just an example. Brother Sy's son is hurting. He's in the hospital. And not in the hospital right now, but he's going to the hospital a lot. He had a mini stroke in his eye. They don't know what in the world's going on. They can't figure out why it's happening. That's pain he's going through. I'm not going through that pain right now. My son's just fine. But understand this, there could be a day when my son's hurting. I'm going to count on Brother Sy to help me. Think with me now. See, there's people that go through things that you've never been through. And there's things that you're going to go through that maybe they have, and maybe the Lord would put them in your life to help you. My question is, do you pray for those things to happen in your life? Do you pray to help people? Do you pray to say, man, I wish you would put somebody in my life that I can help today? Do you know what that's an attitude of? That's an attitude of giving. I want you to look at something. In these verses that we just read, verse 33 says, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? That's payback. Okay? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? And let me tell you something. This is not just talking about money. Hey, when is the last time you lent an hour to somebody? Think about that for a minute. How many times does your phone ring? And please don't raise your hand and let me know. How many times does your phone ring, you see who it is, and you say, ah, oh, thank God for caller ID. Huh? How many times does somebody give you a phone call? And let me tell you something. This is what has happened to me before. Hey, I'm an open book. I've always been transparent. I've got so many holes in me, I'm a sponge. I know that. I've had phone calls come. And I've had times when I've been too busy to take the call. And it turned out to be somebody that needed me. I mean, they needed me. And because I was too busy, I would not give them my time. Now, you might think that that's no big deal. But understand this. What if I called you someday because I was hurting? And what if somebody called you someday because they needed to talk to you? Just they needed somebody to hear what they had to say. Now listen, you might think, well, Brother Dave, I'm a busy person. I understand that you're busy. I really do. Because everybody is today. There's nobody in this room today that's not busy. It seems like retired folk work more now than they did when they were working. Yeah, amen, Brother Bob. Brother Bob puts more hours in a week than I do in a month. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we live in a time where you do not have a second. That's why it's called giving. That's why it's called Romans 12:1 living. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, understand this. Being a sacrifice, and we'll get to giving money a little later. I just want you to think about your time, just for a moment. Just giving to somebody that you don't hope to receive anything back from. When is the last time that happened? When is the last time you did a favor for somebody knowing that someday you're going to get a favor back? Let me tell you something. That's not how you give. That's not giving. That's loaning. There's a big difference. When you go to give something and you desire somebody to have something that you have, like I've got a cane going cheap. I promise you, the person that gave him this cane was not hoping for the cane back. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I'm using it as an illustration today. They gave him this with no thought of return. I know the people. That's how they are. Let me tell you something. It's no different, and that seems like a very simple thing, right? But how many times as Christians do we go through life and we'll give something or some of our time to somebody important? Now, I want you to think with me for a minute. Please, don't run off on me. But we'll give some of our time or something that we have to somebody important because we know that that important person can give us something back in return. But we won't give something to, let's say, a bus kid that walks in here because, well, they can't pay us back. See, we live by a double standard in the Christian world today is that we have no problem giving to somebody as long as somebody can see that we're giving. We have no problem giving to somebody as long as they see, hey, I want you to see that I just dropped that money down on the floor. I just dropped that money right in the offering plate. I want you to see that I did that. Understand something. What you do and what you give should be between you and the Lord, not between you and the whole world. I tried to explain that more in the prayer because I wanted you to see, listen to me, there are things that we go through in this life that should be between you and God, not between you and the planet. It should be a relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father to say, hey, I don't need reward for this, Lord. It's reward enough that you gave me another breath. It's reward enough that you gave me another day. It's reward enough that you gave me salvation and donated your Son. I don't need any more reward than that. That's all I want. And we don't deserve that. We talk about giving. And we talk about a tithe. What if the Lord would have asked for a 50th? Think with me now. You've really got to reverse your gears when you talk about giving. Because preachers are scared to death. Oh, you start talking about money. I don't want to talk about money. Let me tell you something. You start giving of yourself, the money will come. That's just the way it works. You start getting yourself involved in Christianity. Let me tell you something. I'm going to show you a verse here in a few minutes. I'm telling you, it broke my heart when I read it. It really did break my heart because I put myself in that place. See, what you got is a person that's talking to you today that's broken. I'm telling you right now, I'm broken. The Lord has to fix me. And if you don't believe that you're broken, you're crazy. Don't live your life that way. Don't live your life that way. I'm begging you. It's not worth it. You live your life realizing that you need God. Please, please live your life realizing that you need the Savior. If you don't think that you need Him, you are going to have a very difficult life. Don't do it alone. I'm telling you right now, I got the opportunity. Brother Fred Belcher took me over to a lady's house. She's passing away. And I don't know, preachers get an opportunity a lot to go to deathbeds and speak with people about the Lord, and the heart's always tender at that time, and I mean, it's always exciting. But what was exciting to me was usually when the preacher walks in the house, the family goes and watches the kids. Usually they are out of the room. I'll go watch the kids. They're outside. Oh, I'll help, and everybody's gone. In this case, the whole family sat around It was so cool. And so we're sitting there talking, and I'm talking to grandma and mom. And I thought, the Lord almost knocked me on the head and said, dummy, there's more people in the room than just her. And I swept my head around, hey, there are more people in this room than her. Preachers are pretty stupid sometimes. And I turned around and said, you know, this isn't just for her. This is for everybody. Let me explain something to you. You got an opportunity to help everybody. There's not one person that you come across that you can't help. But to do that, you've got to be willing to give. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a very, and hey, don't think for 1 minute that this is easy. This is a very difficult thought of being able to give. Now let's see what it says here. Naturally, we mentioned giving. Our minds run straight to the subject of money. While finances must be a key topic related to giving, we also realize that the subject of giving is not restricted to finances alone. Now, I'm just going to have you, let's go ahead and turn to them. What are you going to do? We'll just take our time going through this. God the Father gave, and he certainly did. John 3:16. Turn there real quickly. It's good sometimes to lay your eyes on these verses again. I know you know this one. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's so exciting. He gave. He gave his only begotten Son. Look at 1 John 5:10. One of my favorite scriptures to nail down salvation. I love this verse. This is the easy verse. Very simple to see this. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I love verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If that's not simple enough, whoo, I don't know what in the world could be simpler than that. Did it say anything about prayer beads, lighting candles, doing cartwheels, going to church every week, doing all the things? I think you should go to church every week. I really do. But understand this. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. He hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I wrote these things down. Why? That you believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. You nail it down right there, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And where is it? It's in his Son. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest things that God ever gave was his only begotten Son. The NIV will tell you that he gave his only Son. But that's not true. He didn't give his one and only Son, because I'm his Son by adoption. So are you. Jesus wasn't his only Son. His only begotten Son. Begotten means born. His only born Son. His only one that Christ is, his blood, his flesh right there. His Son. Luke is my only begotten Son. My only Son that was born to me, Son. I've had more begottens, daughters. But understand this, my only begotten Son. Okay? Jesus was the Lord's only begotten Son. And he gave him for us. What a gift that is. I wouldn't give my Son for you. Think with me. Would you give your Son for me? No, you wouldn't. You think you would, but you wouldn't give your Son up for me. No way. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't give my Son for you. Although I love you, folks, I don't love you that much. Amen. It's the truth. You say what you want. That's the truth. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Right after Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. God the Father gave his Son. God the Son gave himself. Let me tell you something, and we won't take the time to look through all these, but understand this. the Lord gave of himself freely. When God the Father came to him, and understand, they're a Trinity, they probably have good meetings, okay? But understand, when God the Father looked and saw his sacrifice, Jesus was already at the door waiting to go. He wanted to go. It behooved him to suffer. He wanted to suffer for you and for me. He desired to make a way that you and I could go to heaven. He desired to give himself. Understand this. Just as much as I would not give my son, I dare say that most of us would not give themselves for us. Would not say, I'll go that you might live. I'll go. And not the people that loved him. Please don't misread me. You folks love me. I love you. But understand this. There's probably not many people in this room that would give of themselves for people that love them. Jesus gave for himself for people that hated him. We did not love him. We hung him on a cross. And he knew that was coming. Yet he still gave. Understand this. I've had people tell me, well, if Jesus would have been more of a man. By the way, that stops with me. I'm telling you right now, that statement right there throws you right out the window. Jesus would have been more of a man if he didn't know what was going to happen, and he didn't know that he was going to the cross, and he didn't know that he was going to be alive again afterwards. He would have been more of a man if he didn't know that, yet still went. I thought to myself, have you ever been to the dentist? I said, what in the world does that mean, Brother Dick? Do you ever like going to the dentist? Do you think you're going to die when you go to the dentist? No, but even just the sound of the drill makes you cringe inside. I can't stand going to the dentist. The dentists are straight from the devil. If you're a dentist in here, I feel bad for you. Get saved, please. Put people to sleep. Easy dentistry. I walk in, Brother Dave, we're going to do a tooth cleaning. Put me to sleep. Before you get that iron hook out, put me to sleep. Think I'm kidding. I'm the worst dental patient ever. There could be a 3-year-old girl right next to me going, okay, go ahead. I said, put me to sleep. She's tougher than me, I'll admit it. If Jesus didn't know, do you think that makes it easier for him to give of himself to you and to me? Do you think it's easier that he knew that he was going to be beaten more than any man ever would be or ever was? Do you think that made it simpler for him knowing that he was going to have to hang on a tree for people that hated him? Do you think that made it easier for him to give? Do you think it's easy for you to give to people that you know you're never going to get paid back for and probably don't even appreciate the gift that you give? Do you know that that's okay? Now let me tell you something. Many of us would get up in arms if we gave of ourselves and didn't get a thank you. Let me tell you something. More than one person has given to me that I forgot to write a thank you card to. And they were mad at me because I didn't give them the thank you that they deserved. And they did deserve a thank you. But folks, if you go through life doing things to get cards in the mail, you're doing them for the wrong reasons. You've already gotten your thank you. Let me tell you something. We live in a time where we've got to learn that giving means not receiving back. Hey, when it's Christmas time, you got to understand this. This is a good illustration for this. You put all the presents under the trees for the kids. You know they're not going to give you much back. But does that make you upset? No. Because you know Christmas is for them. You are to live your life as a living sacrifice, knowing that your giving is for them, not for you. You're giving. You're trying to fill the underneath of their tree with presents. You're trying to understand that you're giving of yourself because you know that it's going to help them. You don't care about helping yourself with your giving. You know that you're not going to receive anything back. And you're okay with that. Not only okay, you're happy. It behooves you to suffer. See, we're supposed to be Christ-like. It's amazing. I want to show you a verse real quick. We're going to skip ahead a little bit. I want you to see Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 27, and I'm going to skip ahead here for a little bit, but listen to these words, and you've heard these before, but I want you to hear them, and then I want you to read this other verse with me. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. I want you to read those verses. Do you see those verses right there? Unto him that smiteth me on one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Look up verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Listen to this next verse. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? I'm going to tell you, folks. Giving is an aspect of Christianity that cannot be ignored. We can come to church every week. We can show up. We can act Christian. We can say all the right words, do all the right things. But when it really comes down to brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road, your giving shows, and I'm not talking about money. Listen to me. I could care less what you put in the plate. I couldn't care less. It means nothing. The Lord will take care of his own. I'm not worried about that at all. Do you live with the thought of giving? Now let me tell you something. We tried to talk about adjusting our prayer life attitude. And if you adjust your prayer life attitude, it will help your prayer life. If you adjust your giving attitude to where you're not coming in here every week thinking, oh my goodness, the preacher's going to talk about money again. He might. What the Lord puts on his heart is his business. See, what your problem is, you don't get plugged into God before you come here. And you think, well, bless God, I'm sick and tired of hearing that preacher. Really? Because the words that he speaks are supposed to be from God. And if the words are from God, are you sick of hearing from God? Now, see, I'm coming to you today not on my own. This is none of my business. This is God's business. And when he tells you that you need to adjust your giving life, you need to adjust the thought of, what can I do today to be a living sacrifice for him? Now, you might think that that's going too far. God, I've got a life I have to live. God, it's difficult for me. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not that which I say? Why? Why do you call me God when you don't believe that I'm him? That's scary. That broke my heart. It was almost like, Brother Dave, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? I want you to put your name in there for a minute. I want you to think about those words. Hey, Brother Dave, you're being mean to me today. No, I'm not. I'm not being mean to you today. I'm being mean to me today, trust me. This is hard for me to do. Let me explain something to you. This life is difficult enough going through it without Christ. Don't turn your back on him. Let me tell you something. When you're talking about prayer life, and I use this illustration, we pray, oh, God, where are you? God, where are you? God, where are you? God, behind you. You're facing the wrong way. We talk about giving all the time. Brother Dave, I give of my life. I give of everything I have. I give. Do you really give? Because if you give, you don't seek anything back. If you give, it's something that you train yourself to do, that you give to people that maybe can't pay you back. And you don't care that they can't pay you back. It doesn't bother you. It never even occurs to you anymore that people can't pay you back. It's okay. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a day and age where so many people should be saying this verse, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why? Why do you call him Lord and you don't care about what his scripture says to you? Is Jesus Christ just convenience? Well, I'm going to heaven. That's all the further I have to go. Do you know there's going to be a day, and I'm telling you right now, this day scares me to death. And hey, I hope that you're not afraid of this. But to me, I've lived a life that is so scummy, I can't even imagine going and facing Christ someday. I can't. You hear people all the time say, "Well, I can't wait to just look into the eyes of Jesus." Really? There's a fire that burns in those eyes. And let me tell you something. He's going to have to put out a bonfire when he sees me. Because I live a lot. I'm telling you right now, and I'm so thankful none of you do, but understand this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've got holes in me that are going to have to be fixed by my Savior, and I'm not excited about that. I'm not excited that I've looked Jesus and I told him, "Lord, I'm not going to do what you asked me to do today." I'm going to tell you, there's been days when, "Hey, you should have talked to that person about the Lord, and I didn't do it." There's times when, "Oh, Brother Dave, you should have given to that person, and you didn't do it, and the Lord lets you know." I don't know if you've ever had that feeling before. The Lord says, "Hey, stupid, I was calling you just a minute ago. Why didn't you pick up?" When he calls you at 9 o'clock in the morning to come to Sunday school, do you pick up the phone? Hey, I'm just asking. Let me tell you something. We live in a time where you need to start calling him Lord and mean it. Because these days aren't going to get any easier. Why call you me Lord if you don't do what I say? If Jesus walked right next to you and had, I love this. If my son didn't do what I say, he gets whooped. Turn me into the child endangering service. I'm here to tell you, he gets whooped. Man, what if Jesus was walking next to you? And he told you to do something and you didn't. Take out the trash, my son. No, Lord. Yeah, we tell him no every day. Giving is an attitude adjustment in itself. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And this is tough preaching because, well, I live a busy life and I just don't have the time to donate to the church. This isn't Catholic here. You don't have to donate anything to this church, but you better donate it to your Savior. See, he died for you. It only makes sense that we should live for him. Willingness and even the desire to give should be present in the believer as an evidence of the presence of Christ through his Holy Spirit. In Matthew 10, 24 and 25, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Listen to this. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Do you know that Jesus Christ has made us so? Joint heirs with him. We are literally not on the same level as him, but it should be our desire to be as him because he is our Lord. He is our master. He is our Savior. It should be our desire to be Christ-like. It should be our desire for people to look at us. And I'm not saying, you know, well, you're the only Jesus that some will ever see. I understand the thought behind that song, but understand this. I have a desire to be like him. I don't care what other people think. I don't care if you see him or not. I want to be like him. If I want to be like him and I try to be, you'll see him whether I want you to see him or not. Because Christ will be seen, amen? And you might think, well, Brother Dave, that's too hard. It's not hard. Christ gave you the ability to do that. He gave you the ability to work and to serve him. If he didn't give you the ability to do that, why would you still be here, amen? Because you've got a job to do. He's given all of us a job to do. And because he's given us that job, we should desire to do it. If the Lord Jesus Christ really is our master, then we should gladly responsive to his spoken directions and biblical influence in every part of our lives. In John 13:13, I want you to go over this and I'll be all done. I know that bell's going to ring pretty soon, but I want you to see this. John 13:13. This is speaking of feet washing, and it's funny that this is in here, because I've talked about this with a few people. In verse 5, after that he poureth the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. This is Jesus washing feet. And to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In other words, his clothes. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Are you kidding me? I'm going to have part with you. I want all of it. Before he said he wasn't going to wash anything. Now he wants him to wash everything. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Now let me explain something to you. If you're going to wash a part of somebody, the feet are just about as vile as you can get. Just about. Nobody has pretty feet, okay? Everybody has ugly feet. Most of them stink, okay? Except all the ladies, which have not smelly feet. Trust me, ladies, your feet stink too. Jesus bends down to wash feet. Now understand, this is when they had sandals and dirt was all over their filthy feet. He washes their feet and then dries them with his clothes. Okay? He does this to show them that, yes, he is their Lord and Master. But he's giving his all in humbling himself before them. Now understand, the reason he did, and feet washing is big in churches. I mean, there's some churches that do it all the time, constantly washing feet. And that's okay, but do they miss the point? The point is, the preacher should be the one washing the feet. Okay? The preacher. I'm glad we don't partake in this too much. The preacher should be the one washing the feet because he needs to show his people that he is the greatest servant there. Not the greatest, biggest, but the most servant. The lowest servant. See, you need to understand something. Christianity is not about being on the top. Christianity is about being on the bottom. See, we live our lives wrong with it. I'm going to be the greatest Christian. I'm going to go all across America and preach the word and do all these things. No, hogwash. You need to worry about being a servant first. If you serve first, God will take care of the rest. He will get his word out. Don't you worry. If it's through you, amen. You worry about washing feet, brother. You worry about no matter where you go, you want to serve. No matter where you go, you want to help somebody that cannot help you back. How do you pay back? Foot washing. Good night in the morning. You think somebody's going to grab your foot right after you grab theirs? Shoo! I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus was trying to show them, I am your master, I am your Lord, but I am your servant. Because I'm going to give everything I have to you. Let me tell you something. That's a pretty tall order if you think about it. God gave everything he had to us. Everything. He held nothing back. You say, well, what do you mean he held nothing back? I don't see the riches of heaven down here. Let me explain something to you. Riches mean nothing. They mean nothing. That's why heaven's made out of them. They mean nothing. They're construction material. It means nothing. He gave everything he had. What more could he give than his only begotten son? I know that's a simple thought. I know that's something that we've talked about all the time, but when you think about giving, God gave everything he had for us. Dirty, rotten sinners. He gave everything for us. What would we be willing to give for him? to me. Why call ye me Lord and do not the things that I say? Don't be a double-sided Christian. Don't lead a double life. Well, you call me Lord in church, but as soon as you walk out of church, I'm no longer your Lord because you do not the things of what I say. I'm going to tell you right now, when I read that verse, I said to myself, man, what have I done that he could say, well done? I want you to think about that in your mind. And you might think, well, man, I'm never coming back to Sunday school again. All you did is made me feel bad. If that's the way you feel, good. Because understand this, I didn't feel good when I was going over this either. And I realized that, what have I done to deserve well done? We throw that around as Baptist preachers a lot. I just want to stand in heaven and have him say, well done. What have I done to deserve well done? And if you change your attitude of prayer and change your attitude of giving, hey, who knows? Maybe the Lord will look down on you and say, well done. You gave what you had. And we'll get into giving what you had next week. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity that it was to stand here. And Lord, there are so many times that I fail you. Every day. In every way, it seems like. I fail you. And Lord, you still love me. And I know that if you were here today, that you would wash my feet. Because you are the greatest servant that ever walked this earth. I pray to God that we get that here. Understanding that we should all desire to be the lowest. Not the highest. Not the best. But the lowest. Because if we can get ourselves into an attitude of being the lowest, I believe it'll help us to give. Because I'm going to tell you, Lord, we need to give not just of our money, although we do need to give that, but we need to give of ourselves in very special ways every day. In ways that we've never even thought of before. I don't want to have that verse ringing in my ears every day. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Lord, I want to be a doer. I want to be somebody that does the things that you say. Lord, help me. Help these folks in this room today, because I believe, Lord, if you gave it to me, I got to believe that there's others in here that feel the same way, that we just haven't lived up to your standards. And I know that's difficult to do, but Lord, I believe you can help us. Lord, please help live through us today. Live through us every day. And let the people know that are around us that we call you Lord for a reason. Because we want to do the things that you say. Lord, help us. We sure do love you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you very much. Take about a